heal our broken hearts. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
And welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith and how to integrate faith into the different areas of our lives. And we'd like to start the program with a scripture reading. I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, and I'm going to read about, it looks like 13 verses here. It goes like this. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe him of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light and who gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Again, that's John chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. Thanks so much for joining us on the program today. On this show, we share testimonies and faith journeys intended to encourage you if you're a believer and challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith. We now have all our podcasts loaded on iTunes, and we also have a website. It's everydayfaithradio.com. Please let us know if you have any prayer requests, as we would love to pray for you. Again, this is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with today's special guest. Please stay with us.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thank you so much for joining us today. With us on the program is my good friend, Brian Verbrugge. Brian, thanks for being on the show.
Pleasure to be here, Jeff. Appreciate the invite.
Well, today's program is actually titled Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. It's actually the title from one of Tim Keller's books, which has helped me a lot. And it seems odd to be talking about that title on Christmas Eve. But as we know, in this world, there's a lot of pain and suffering. And Brian, just to get you up to speed, our listeners have kind of allowed me to kind of share with them my journey this year in particular. I'm just going to kind of recapture a few things, and then I'm coming right to you. Is, you know, I started the year, my father passed away. Later in the year, one of my closest friends and colleagues, Pat Jensen, had a recurrence of her breast cancer, and she eventually passed away. And then my wife, Dr. Mo Gaffney, her best friend in the world, who Joanne Walker, who would, I would still characterize as, you know, the healthiest woman I ever knew, in great physical condition. Anyway, she gets diagnosed with terminal cancer, and she passed away just some weeks ago. And as you and I are going to talk about, the tragedy doesn't stop there, but it's been a hard year. But one thing that I have I've really, really learned this year is that that verse in, I think it's James 4:8, is really true. If you press into God, He will press into you. And, you know, for me this year, there's been no choice. I mean, there's no plan B. That's the only option that I had, that our family had. And now we're going to talk about some more tragedy here on the program. But it's a long-winded way of coming to you, Brian, with what would you say to our listeners? I mean, this is a tough way to start the show, but this is where I'm going to go. What would you say to any of our listeners if they're going through pain and suffering right now of their own? You know, down around the holidays, too, it just becomes so raw.
Yes. Yes, it's such a great question. And I think a couple of factors to think about. The first is that our society has done such a poor job at teaching us how to cope with evil and suffering. It seems that everything we're doing is try to push away death, to hide suffering, whereas just a couple hundred years ago, parents would bury half of their children, and evil and suffering and this kind of thing would be very much more a part of our everyday lives. That said, our expectations as we bring to the conversation are important. That said, it's best to parse that out, I think, into two areas. One would be the very personal and practical. What do we say to people that are actually walking in suffering? And the other is the philosophical, the more scholarly, heady kind of discussions. Where does evil come from? And can a good God allow evil and suffering? Sometimes the answers to the second help with the first. But a lot of times we look for answers, but what we get is a God who is with us in the midst of that suffering. And in many ways, this story on Christmas Eve is very appropriate because one of the great themes that runs through the entire scriptures is Emmanuel, God with us.
Amen. Oh, that's really well put. And I'm cycling through the Gospel of John right now. And, you know, you read that first chapter, and sometimes people will say, well, John doesn't really talk about the birth of Jesus. But then you read it again and again and again, and you realize that, you know, couple of the main scripture points in there is that the Word became flesh and lived amongst us.
That's right.
Or as my good friend Rydell Payne would say, tabernacled amongst
us. That's right.
Us.
That's right.
And to experience that is so much different than, you know, just reading it on a page or, you know, somebody says it. But to really kind of ponder that and meditate on that, I found has been life-changing.
Well, and I think you're right. The original readers would have caught that connection much more than you and I do reading in English. And for them, they would have understood the tabernacle in the middle of the Israelite society as the center, as God's very presence with them. And I think as you say that, tabernacle among us, the standard passage to think about in these kinds of scenarios is when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And interestingly enough, the shortest verse in the Bible there, Jesus wept. We all know it. Comes even though Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. That's the interesting thing to me, is that he enters into their suffering even knowing that he's going to alleviate it in just a few moments. And that has been a great source of comfort to me in the past couple of days in thinking through what has transpired.
The other verse I want to talk about for a moment in that, in John's chapter 1, John's Gospel chapter 1, it says, yet to all who received him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to be children of God.
That's right.
So that verse is also, please don't just read over that and just kind of keep flowing down the page. I would say, you know, take a pit stop there and just, you know, kind of, I think the original Greek, he gave the right to be children of God. I think that word right could be interchanged with authority. He gave the authority to be children of God. I mean, it's a pretty heavy thing, but there's two things involved on our part, the receiving part and the believing. And I think for some folks who have not crossed the line of faith, I think they struggle with the whole concept of receiving and believing. And it's, you know, it's, as you mentioned, it kind of becomes a, you know, more of a heady philosophical discussion. And then there's that, isn't that kind of what faith is all about? You know, you got to take that step.
So, and then the last part of that verse, becoming children of God, that image of adoption into God's family is such a beautiful picture. Mm. It's used in the scriptures a number of times to describe the life of faith. Mm-hmm. And to think that as a part of God's family, therefore certain rights and privileges are mine, in the same way that if my wife and I were to adopt a child, that child would be fully ours. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful picture that completes that verse.
Mm-hmm. And it's a new life. And it took me a long time to get there. The listeners on the program have heard all about my story. Is, you know, I went to church, had very faithful parents, church, lots of head knowledge. But until I experienced really the rebirth that Jesus talks about, and John in his gospel talks about, Jesus later on in chapter 3. That's the great thing about John's gospel, is every chapter is incredible.
That's right.
I mean, you get to chapter 3 and you get the whole encounter with Nicodemus.
That's right.
And Nicodemus comes to him at night. Nicodemus is one of the Jewish teachers and authorities, and he comes and sneaks over to Jesus at night, and he says, "Hey, you know, I know you're this great teacher, and everything." And, you know, he's basically trying to open up the dialogue. And in my own mind, I just feel like I've just been parachuted into that encounter.
Yes.
And I'm just like sitting there with them, and I'm watching Jesus say, "Oh, you think I'm a teacher, huh? Oh, so you think I'm a teacher? Okay. Well, let me just kind of pull this one over you." And he talks about the whole, unless you are born from above, unless you experience spiritual rebirth, born again, you will never see the kingdom of God.
Right.
It's just fascinating. And, as I'm reading John's gospel, I don't want to go too fast. I'm just savoring it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Savor those stories, those encounters, those interactions Jesus had with real people, and the way in which he led them to himself.
We're headed to the break here in just a minute, and this is Everyday Faith Radio. We have my good friend Brian Verbrugge on the show. And Brian, we're going to talk a little bit more after, in the second half of the show, about some of the challenges of pain and suffering in the world. But as we head to the break, let me just ask you this question. What would you say to any of our listeners if they are, maybe they've never been able to receive, as John's gospel said, they've never been able to receive and believe. What advice would you have to anybody listening to the program on Christmas Eve 2017? What advice would you have for them if they're just trying to get there and they just can't seem to?
I would invite them in the same way that Jesus invites the disciples to come and to taste and see. There's an element of truth that we can discuss and debate that I think the truth of the scriptures will bear out, but there's also an experiential factor as to an encounter with Jesus. With his people in the church, that's an important part of it too. So those three things coming together, the truth of the gospel, the experience of faith together with his people, that's the reality of Christmas, and it's so beautiful.
The other thing, as we head to the break, I would say is sometimes the skeptic or the non-believer struggles with the idea that, hey, you know, I'm really kind of wrestling with believing this. And here's what I always kind of come back to, that is, I think it's good to wrestle with God.
Yes, agreed.
I think that we see in his word, particularly with somebody like Jacob, you know?
Yes.
Wrestles with God.
That's
and
right.
What happens?
God shows up. God is there.
And Jacob comes out a different person.
That's right.
New name, new destiny. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a moment. Please stay with us.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. With us on the program today is my good friend Brian Verbrugge. Brian, I have to share with our listeners, there has been more pain and suffering. About a week ago, last Saturday, a special person in both our lives, a Covenant School graduate, Alec DeYoung, passed away in a tragic car accident coming home from Clemson. He was with his twin brother who survived the accident. And it's really been devastating, you know, particularly around the holidays. And, you know, everybody's trying to get home. And then you have this accident. I was just wondering if you would maybe just share a little bit about your interaction. You know, I need to again share with our listeners that Brian's been the chaplain of the Covenant School and also Bible and history teacher there. So you taught Alec and his brother Brendan and little sister Mackenzie. And so you know, we hold the parents, Steve and Donna DeYoung, we hold them in our prayers every day, all day. But maybe share just a little bit about Alec. I mean, he was a really amazing kid.
He was. He was alive. I think that's the best way to put it. We used to describe what we called the it factor, and that characteristic of a person where they would light up a room and they seemed to know everybody, mm-hmm. and everybody seemed to love this person, young and old alike. He worked at ACAC for so many years and coached the swim team, and so many of those kids looked up to him, loved him. He was alive.
Special kid. Tragic accident. We're all still processing what has gone on. But the one thing that you and I can testify to on the air is that the kid loved the Lord.
He did.
Had a heart for Jesus. And represented.
He did. He was a student at Clemson University. I was just down there for a speaking engagement at the end of November. So I saw him December 1st. So just 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I asked him, I said, Alec, what are you doing tonight? And he said, I'm going to my local high school to hang out and to tell students about Jesus. He was very active in the Young Life community. Mm-hmm. And on a Friday night, college student, I thought it was remarkable that he was going to spend his time with high school students in order to walk with them through this life. That's the kind of kid he was.
Very giving, very generous, very friendly, just a wonderful kid and just a tragic loss. Now, we hold his twin brother, Brandon, in our prayers. He, too, is an amazing young man.
Yes.
And he, as he is suffering incredibly, has been one who I feel like what he's doing, as I have seen him kind of walking with God through pain and suffering. I mean, he is yeah. living that. Right. I see somebody who is both honoring the life of his brother, but also bringing glory and honor to Jesus in the way he does that.
That's right. And the best way I think to describe it is the verse out of 1 Thessalonians. I think it's in chapter 4. Mm-hmm. Where the Apostle Paul marries together grieving with hope. Mm. And there's grieving, and of course there's grieving. The state trooper who came up to Brandon afterwards said he was so young, and he was at 21, his life, and so many more years ahead of him. So we grieve that. Mm-hmm. what's not going to happen in his life, and the fact that he's no longer with us and with his family. But we also do so in hope that the great hope of the Christian, as evidenced by the resurrection, is that we too will rise, and that to be absent with the body, again, the New Testament, absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. For to me, the Apostle Paul says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so Brandon, when I've talked to him over the last couple of days, he just says, you know, I know Alec is at home. And it is a powerful, powerful testimony from a young man who was in a car accident, saw his brother die. His mother put it best. She said, you know, Alec, she was talking to Brandon, Alec came into the world with you and he left the world with you. And I get a lump in my throat every time I think about that. But to hear Brandon say, Alec is with Jesus.
Yeah.
And what other hope is there in the midst of these kinds of circumstances? And Brandon is doing remarkably well.
Yeah. Well, as a father to twin boys myself, whose sons have been integrally involved with Brandon and Alec throughout their high school and college careers, I have a deep affection for the entire family, the DeYoung family. And again, I don't want to leave Mackenzie out because she has really stepped up, and you see her growing in her faith. The other thing I want to say about this, this does not negate the pain at all, Brian, but the gospel promises beauty out of ashes. And this, again, does not negate the pain, but some of the beauty that I have seen from the covenant community, and you've been a big part of this, and I have to give you credit because you have really trained a lot of these young people and helped them grow and mature in their faith. But what I saw when word got out about Alec was that the covenant classmates, the covenant students didn't scatter, didn't go off on their own and didn't go into the isolation corner.
That's right.
Didn't lock themselves in their room. Their first inclination was, let's gather.
That's right.
Together.
That's right.
And so I witnessed that because I was in the middle of it, and you led a very beautiful prayer session there, and it was so powerful. But I looked around at these young people, and I'll be honest with you, the first thing that I thought was I was slightly envious because I don't think I had that community that these young people have. And I think that's a remarkable thing that, I mean, it's indescribable.
It is remarkable.
Yeah.
It is. And I would say the student body, but also it extends to families.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching the number of people involved in the funeral planning services and the way that parents and students have come together with ideas, offered to help. Mm-hmm. It is just a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a very Christian thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to highlight that because I think that often gets lost, that in our secular society today, much of the time, they have to borrow from Christianity in order for the world to make sense. And so what you're hitting on is a very Christian theme, that out of tragedy, goodness can come. Out of evil and difficulty, you know, God is there, and we see that in his hands and his feet, his own people. And I think it's a really, really great example of the way in which the Christian story, big picture, capital S story, comes out in a very tangible, this, let's gather together and be together in the midst of this bad news. The one part that you didn't mention is that there were covenant graduates, when they heard the news, that not only gathered here in Charlottesville, but that went to be with Brandon in the hospital in North Carolina where he was. Same thing, is a beautiful picture of the gospel.
And one other, I need to give a shout out to Jeff and Marcy Lira.
Right.
They hear about this tragedy, and their brother Chris is a pilot, and what do? They fire up the plane.
That's right.
And they fly down and pick up the DeYoungs and bring them home right after the, you know, as soon as they could kind of, and so they didn't have to drive back. And to see that, you know what I call that, Brian? That is faith in action. I think it's somewhere in Romans, maybe chapter 12. Rejoice when they rejoice and mourn when they
That's
mourn.
Right. That's
and,
right.
And that was in full on full display. And I honestly think through all of that, I honestly think that that both Alec again was honored, and I believe that glory was displayed, that that Jesus was glorified through all of that.
That's right. And so it's a natural instinct or a natural movement of the human heart towards people that are suffering, mm-hmm. asking the question, what can I do to help?
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's a very Christian answer, that this world is not the way it should be, and we need to step into it in the same way that Christ did, stepped into it, but we do so not just grieving, but grieving in hope.
Mm,
that's key.
That's well put. Brian Verbrugge, you are the real deal, and I appreciate you coming on the show. I know you're extremely busy. You got a lot going on. I'm just thankful for you.
It's my pleasure. Appreciate the invite, and Merry Christmas to you and to all your listeners.
I'm going to get you back on this program again, but I want to say to you, the Verbrugge family, especially to the DeYoung family and to all of our listeners, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. And may you incredibly experience Emmanuel, God with us, this Christmas. Peace and love. See you next week.
Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need